Ask you to come and share the word of God with us now and lead and direct us.
Angela and Frank Hrabanovich, who have both had surgeries. I said this at the breaking of bread, but they just wanted us to know, I wanted you to know how thankful they were for the kindness the saints have showed toward them at this time. One of their daughters from in the States is there to help care for them right now. They really need that. Both of them really struggling from their surgery issues. So just to pass that on to you. And also for Alex and Irena, as they have that open house today. Really, it's an opportunity for fellowship with them, and Alec is a very gifted painter as well. So, anyway, it's just an opportunity for us to encourage them. Let's just ask the Lord to help us. We always need His help. What a beautiful day to be here, but we know we need His work within our lives, not only in the environment, but within our hearts. So let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you are an awesome God. We thank you that you have made this world and all that is in it. Even though it's been impacted by sin, it still has so much beauty. And Father, we thank you for each one here. You've created individuals, each individual in your image. We know we're broken because of sin. But we thank you that you love us. We know that's obvious because Christ came to die for us. We know that you have a plan for each of our lives, and you want to move us through that and grow us up and use us for ultimate things, eternal things. And Father, we're here, and we know that today's not by accident. We just ask that you would have your way in our hearts, in our midst. We just want to entrust our time to you. In Christ's name, amen. I've shared parts of this story, but just I was asking the Lord if I should share it, and I think probably so. When my mother was just a little baby, they lived in a farmhouse out in the country in Kansas. and just an old wood frame. It was in the wintertime. And through an accident, there was an explosion in the kitchen. She was sitting in a high chair. And the house just exploded into flames in short order. There's a lot to the story, and I'll not go into all the details. But my mother, as a little baby, was burned very badly. Thankfully, she survived. But she was burned very badly, especially on her face. And I remember the story being told. Of course, in recovery, my grandfather was burned very badly, but my mom was burned worse. So every day, the doctor would come to their house, kind of a rural country kind of a doctor, would come to their house and have to change the bandages on my mom's face. Now, she's just a little baby, just a little girl. And it is said that when she would hear the doctor's voice, she would start screaming because of the pain she knew she was going to experience in the removal of those bandages. Now, we think of pain and suffering. None of us are exempt. We have different facets of it that affect our lives. But we can look, and we can probably all ask the question, why? Now, especially when we think of a little baby, the suffering that they would go through, we would ask, why? Don't you imagine her mother was just overwhelmed with the difficulty? Now, we look at suffering, and I think many times, and right, understandably, we turn the other way and we try to run. We try to minimize and have as little suffering as possible, but the fact is, it ends up catching us somewhere, right? How do we handle that? What do we do with that? Part of the puzzle is understanding that God has purpose for suffering with his kids. Now, I want us to go to Romans 8, and I want us to look at a few verses that talks about suffering. It's not all that it talks about, but it's one component. Romans 8, verse 17 and verse 18. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now there's an assurance that there is purpose in suffering for the believer. Verse 17, he's talking to us who are in, and if children. Now the verse in front of it, verse 16, we are children of God. We are children of God. Now, as Ben has shared in ministering to these little ones, it's wonderful. You know, you have these little kids, and I love watching up here, when I'm not responsible. All the little ones running around, right? It's just a joy to see children, usually, I understand. Okay. But we who have trusted Christ as our Savior, you've come to the point you saw your need, and you say, man, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I'm in desperate shape. I am a sinner. And just as already shared, people go into the wrong place, try to resolve their problem. But the only place to run is to the Lord Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only answer, because he died for our sins. He rose from the dead. If you've put your trust in him for your eternal destiny, which I hope, I pray that you have, then you are a child of God. I mean, I don't think that resonates. You know, the world has said, well, we're all children of God. No, no, no. We're all created by God. But only through faith in Christ are we children of God. It's a wonderful thing to belong to him. He is our Father. It's so wonderful to be accepted, to be in the family. It's like, you know, when sometimes, and I've said this, you know, when our grandchildren come up, and when they give you a big hug, right? Well, it's even more important that you give them a hug back, because that says, I love you, I accept you, I care about you, I want the best for you. And you know what? That's what God wants for us. We're children of God. And that's an amazing thing. A wonderful privilege. I hope that's true for each one of us. And if children, now, it even gets better. If children, we are also then heirs. Now, when you think of some people who born into a rich family, right? And, you know, they got fancy cars out in the driveway, and they got a big house, and they, you know, they can do just about anything they want to do. And if you're one of the kids, you know, one of the guys, the kids that's grown up, and you're thinking, oh, man, when dad kicks off, I get all this, right? That, you know, you're an heir. You know, it doesn't work out so well. I was just seeing yesterday how many kids come from rich homes who have all kinds of problems and disasters in their lives. But you know what? We don't have that kind of father, and we don't have that kind of mess. We are heirs. Now, heirship is looking to the future. You can be an heir, but you haven't enjoyed all the inheritance yet. But we are heirs of God. If we're children, we're heirs. There's something really good and great ahead for us. You know, and we need to remember, we're in the right family. We have abundant blessing awaiting us. Sometimes we forget that in the suffering, don't we? Now, in this heirship, one has said it includes freedom from sin. That would be amazing. Suffering, no more suffering. Freedom from corruption. Freedom from death. And of course, that kind of freedom, that heirship, that advantage we have is an eternal. It's eternal. It's not like you have a month vacation, right? That you're really looking forward to. No, this is an eternal benefit. We're heirs. We're children of God. We're heirs. Now, also, notice in our passage, it says not only are we heirs, but there's this potential to be fellow heirs. Notice, if children, heirs also of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him. Fellow heirs. Now, it's even a step up. In the translation I read, if indeed, the NIV says, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings. One has said it this way: not only are God's children heirs of God, but they may also be co-heirs with Christ on the condition, and this is what we don't want to hear, on the condition that we're willing to suffer with Him. Now, as we let that sink in a little bit, one writes, another states, to be a co-heir with Christ means inheriting together with Christ. We are God's heirs, and we are, in addition, Christ's fellow heirs if we share in His sufferings, in order to share in His splendor hereafter. Now, you might think, okay, suffering. To follow Christ at times will be tough. It's not always fun and games. But how we choose to handle that as a Christian is going to make all the difference. It's possible for us who are Christians, when it gets tough, to just take a run, take a hike, take a vacation, and not follow through in faithfulness to the Lord. If we're faithful, if we follow through, there's going to be times it's going to be a struggle. But there's benefit. Notice in our passage, it talks about fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we also may be glorified with Him. God wants to reward us. And as we're faithful to Him, even in the tough times, He said there is going to be reward ahead of you that is even bigger than the inheritance. All of us have this amazing inheritance. But those who decide to stay steady in their race, be faithful to the Lord, even when it hurts, they're going to have even greater reward. And that's when it talks about, this is similar to the passage in 2nd, now I'll just read this to you, a part of 2 Timothy 2:12. If we endure, and it's going to talk about endurance in this, if we endure in the Christian life, we will reign, we will also reign with Him. There's something huge coming for the faithful Christian. Just think of the Christians that have suffered, gone through difficult ministries, hung in there when it was not fun at all, or gone through hard situations, gone through the difficulties of having an illness, and they're suffering, but they're honoring the Lord in the midst of the mess. You know what? There's reward coming. And it's going to be a huge benefit for us in the future. One of the difficulties, though, is We don't see it in the present. And that's why it's so easy to bail out and not be faithful, not stay steady in the Christian life. We as Christians are not exempt from suffering. One has written, many Christians have the mistaken notion that their salvation is supposed to be a heavenly tranquilizer that keeps them perpetually happy by shielding them against everything painful and disagreeable or upsetting. You know, a lot of people think, give me the Christian shot so I don't have any problems. I want to be immune to difficulty and suffering. That is not God's design. We live in a broken world, and you know, one thing unbelievers need to see, how Christians go through the same crisis that they're facing, and still Christ is their strength, and they honor the Lord in the midst of it all. So God is offering, he's telling us what's ahead if we'll just stay steady. But we need to be careful not to buy at the line that if you're just a faithful Christian, you're never going to have a problem. Paul said this in Philippians 1. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his Isn't that amazing? Now, we like the first part. I like the first part. Believe in him. Trust in him, right? But it also, it calls the Christian to not just, that's not the only thing there is. We're called also to suffer for him. There's another passage that fits with what we're talking about. And this is in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. It says this. It's talking directly to us. Beloved, well, these are believers who are loved by God. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing. Now, I know some of you really are in times of testing. I understand that. We're not making light of that. Testing times are painful times. We're not minimizing that. And God does not minimize that. I'll read it again. Beloved, do not be surprised. Don't be blown away at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, we share them. Keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, when he comes, you may rejoice with exultation. There's a day coming when the Lord comes for us, if we've been faithful in our path, we are going to rejoice. We're going to say, oh God, thank you, thank you, thank you, that by your grace I stayed steady in your race. So Peter, God through Peter encourages us to hang in there. In fact, he tells, be prepared. In 1 Peter 4, 1, it says, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. One writes, arm yourself is a military expression meaning to take up the proper weapons for warfare. Now we don't think too much about warfare, but our kind of warfare now, a lot of it is, in the air, and, of course we still have some hand-to-hand, but they had, all of their warfare was hand-to-hand combat. And so they had the armor for dealing with the enemy that was coming at them, either with a sword or an axe or whatever. Put on the armor. But remember this, you have an enemy and he is coming. Arm yourself, prepare yourself, be ready. Don't be surprised. It is not going to be a cakewalk. Now, one has said, and this is the balance of, he is not speaking of a morbid desire to suffer. That would be psychologically unhealthy. But rather of a willingness to suffer if that is what God allows to come into our lives. We are to accept it. If God brings it into our life, allows it to come into our lives, we're to patiently deal with it in His strength. Now notice, again we look at our verse 17 again. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Notice this little phrase, suffer with Him. When we suffer, and if you know the Lord Jesus, you are united to the Lord Jesus, He suffers with you. He is with us in the midst of our pain and our moments of discouragement and disaster. He is with us, and He will not abandon us. Don't you love the passage in Hebrews 13? It says, He Himself said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God is not going to dump us. God is not just, you know, when you're in the hospital bed, or you're in the situation, you know, when your family thing has fallen apart, or your finances has just went down the tube, God is with you. He is with us, and He cares about us, and He will not abandon us. Now, but that's an issue of faith, right? Because we can't see Him. But God calls us to trust Him. He is with us, and we suffer with Him. And notice, as it says, so that we may also be glorified with Him. One has put it, in fact, it is nothing short of an universal law that suffering marks the road to glory. Now think of this passage. This fits with what we're talking about. This is 2 Corinthians 4:17. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, now Paul talks about light. With the stuff he went through, I don't think I'd call light. But he called it light. Light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, of splendor. Something we cannot get our head around, but it is awesome. It is truly over the top. This glory, if we're willing to stay steady with the Lord in the midst of the pain, God has something great ahead for us in the future. Suffering is a part of life, and it's a part of life for the Christian. What a contrast, though. And this is one of the things I think we have to think through. The popular thinking among many Christians that says Christians are to be healthy, wealthy, and not suffer. And what happens when that is the theory that you live by? Well, you are going to suffer. You are going to have pain. If that's your philosophy, that I'm going to be healthy and wealthy and wise, and you're not healthy, then you think God has dumped you. You're mad at God. I mean, there are dear Christians who are just mad at God because they never understood that God takes us through the pain in view of the glory to come. God wants us to realize it's not going to be easy. He's with us, and He's got something awesome for us. He assures us that glory is the outcome of suffering. But we a lot of times don't understand, do we? I'm sure some of you remember this writing some years back called The Weaver. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oftentimes He weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget He sees the upper and I the underside. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern He has planned. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttle cease to fly shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why. Some of the stuff you're going through, you will not understand ultimately why until you're with the Lord. But God has said, if you be patient, you'll endure, you stay steady, it's going to be worth it. I got something awesome for you, and it lasts forever. Now let's just think for a moment. In verse 18, how great this is. For, verse 18, I consider that the suffering of this present time, the sufferings of this present time, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Notice he says, I consider. Lagizomai is the word we used. It was used in Romans 6:11. Even so, count or reckon yourselves. And it's a word of faith. Count this to be true. It's a word of faith, though. Can't see it, can't touch it. Believe this because it's true. God said it. Count on it. That the sufferings of this present time. Now just think what you're going through. You say, well, nobody understands. Well, that's probably true. Nobody understands exactly what you're going through, how you feel, your circumstance. You know, sometimes we say to people, well, I know what you're going through. Well, that's probably not true. Because all of us are different. Our emotional makeup is different. Our situations are different. Finances are different. But God knows. And Paul understood a lot about suffering. You know, I'm thinking of this passage. This is in 2 Corinthians 11. And Paul was just given a little grocery list of what he had to go through. And the reason he was saying, not to boast about himself, but had a lot of false teachers who were attacking him. And they said, oh man, we're the big stuff on the block. You know, and Paul says, you know what? Give me a break. Do you know what I've gone through? And then he goes through this just to kind of challenge his opponents because they were trying to undermine his own ministry, his whole ministry. He says, I've gone through far more imprisonments. How many times have you been in jail? Beaten times without number. Can't count them. Often in danger of death. You know, some of us maybe had a close call with a car. How many often in danger of death? 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 5 times. 39 is because, you know, if you got 40 or more, you usually would die. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked at a night and a day. I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers from false brother. Whoa. Like one guy said, he said, if just a little bit of that happened to us, we'd write a book and expect a great royalty, right? Yeah, you don't know what I've gone through. You know, I had a toenail. It didn't work out so well, right? Paul went through all this stuff. Now, he's not bragging. But you know what? He knew there was an end game to the game. He knew that God had something awesome for him down the road. But believe me, when you're being beaten, it's pretty hard to remember that, right? When you're in danger, it's hard to remember that. Paul knew about suffering, physical, emotional, financial. He knew about it. And then in verse 18, we read this again. These things are not worthy to be compared with the glory. The sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory. They're not worthy. Using the idea of worthy, not worthy to be compared, one has stated. St. Paul had been doing some spiritual arithmetic. And as it were, had put down in two columns, the suffering and the glory, and with the result that there was not even a comparison between the two. The glory so outshined the suffering. One writes, the future glory is so great that present sufferings are insignificant by comparison. In fact, Paul says, not even worthy to be compared with. Now, again, we're not trying to minimize your pain. You know, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice, grieve, weep with those who weep. We need to be, of all people, we need to be come along to other believers and weep with them when they're hurting, weep with them when they're ill, weep with them when they're suffering. Because we have the compassion of the Lord. We care about people. But we have to remember that God has a bigger plan that goes beyond the pain. And suffering does not compare with the glory, with the future, the amazing future God has for us. As one calls the glory, the dazzling splendor. And only God knows all that's wrapped up in that and how amazing it will be we can participate in that. That is to be revealed when we're reunited with the Lord. It's amazing. The greatness of glory, you know, other believers going through very, very hard times had the future in view. Hebrews 11, verse 35. The first part's positive. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. A better resurrection. More gifts from the Lord. More splendor to enjoy. The wonder of what God has in store. The glory far outweighs the agony. I was thinking of this chart, and this is produced by the Voice of Martyrs. And of course, Ben can appreciate this. You'll notice this is some of the countries, the larger countries in the world, and you'll notice the different colors. But the reddish brown, those are all countries who are persecuted nations. And of course, India is included. Mexico is included. I was thinking of Nigeria, because in Nova Scotia we have some very, very dear Nigerian friends. And so I'm a little more aware of some of the things that their family members have to deal with. This says about Nigeria. Nearly all Christians in northeastern Nigeria have lost family members due to the violence perpetuated by the terrorist groups. Entire congregations have been displaced, and many pastors have been forced to leave the region. Today, it takes great courage and faith to openly worship and serve Christ. Now, of all the dear believers that this picture and that little statement, you know, they are genuinely suffering, and we need to pray for them, we need to love them, we need to care for them, and be used of God to encourage and support. But God says to them as well, glory far outweighs the agony. Now, we are not in that category. It may be a rejection of a neighbor when we share the gospel with them. It may be a coworker who makes fun of you for being a Christian. It may be the schoolmate who laughs at your face and behind your back because you're a Christian. But God says, the glory far outweighs the suffering. God will reward. Now, when we think of how God uses suffering, I just want to go back to where I started. Mom, when she was a little girl, she grew up, and she knew she didn't look like some of the other kids, right? One time a salesman came to their house, and Mom happened, as a little girl, went to the door, and the salesman looked at her and said, her mother was right. She said, what happened to that girl? You can imagine the impact of that statement. Now, as Mom grew up and she went to nursing, and she was always very, very careful with her makeup, and she did a very good job. You probably wouldn't even notice in her latter days. But you know what God did with Mom's scars? Mom came to Christ as a young girl. She grew up in a Christian home. She was an outstanding nurse in caring for people who had tremendous problems. In fact, she was the nurse in their little hospital. If there was a patient who had severe injuries, Mom was the one they would ask to come and care for that patient. You know what God did with Mom's suffering? He made her into a compassionate person. And you know, Mom's with the Lord now. That's another whole story. But anyway, she's with the Lord. But you know what? I'm pretty sure Mom's glory is going to far outweigh the agony. God used it. God used pain with purpose to give Mom greater glory through all eternity. May the pain we experience, may we remember the glory far outweighs whatever agony we're experiencing. May God help us remember. Let's pray. God, we want to, first of all, God, we want to weep with those who weep. We know there are some in here who have had so much suffering. And we do not want to minimize that. We do not want to lighten that. We want to pray for them. We want to uphold them. We want to encourage them. We want to weep with them. But Father, we also want to remember that when we're going through the pain, you have purpose. And that purpose extends into eternity. Help us remember that the glory far outweighs the agony. In Jesus' name.